This is part two of a Bible teaching by David Ebal titled Spiritual Israel.
The only way to peace out of war is the way of love. And the only people I know that have the key are the Christians, to be a buffer between Jew and Muslim. So the thought occurred to me, what if the Christians, those who are interested in this section of the world, of the United States, would get together and offer to purchase for fair value from the Arabs who are still there? You could make, you know, $1,000 to one of those guys would make him immensely wealthy. And you might end up with quite a few acres. Maybe the acres that Jesus walked on, because that's the very, those are the very sites up in here when he went up. See, he was a Galilean, so he went all through this section. Remember when he went through Samaria and talked to the woman at the well? It was right there. And a lot of Jews don't want it, but it seems to me that would be a most excellent place for Christians to set up a new nation that would be dedicated to peace, peacekeeping nation, a buffer nation, someone to stand in the gap of the hedge. I don't know how that affects you, but if I ever had the opportunity, I'd buy land over there. Amen. I'd like to have a little of that. Have deed to some of that. I don't know whether I'd ever occupy it, but I might. But it sure sounds like a good way to me to relieve the Arabs of their problem through finance. That's what, you know, these displaced Arabs got. That's their big problem right now. If they had some money, they'd get something and do something with it. And then to have a land like this would do something for the peace. And then there's something else that occurred to me, and I didn't like it. It really made me mad a few years ago when we let Alaska and Hawaii become states. I don't know about you, but they slipped that one in on me. Just, you know, I didn't even know it, and all of a sudden Alaska and Hawaii were states. And I didn't like it, because that goes into imperialism now. That causes the United States to change their whole thing now. You see, we've got two states that are completely disconnected as far as continuity of land. And I don't like that. That's going on like kind of like British. But then I got thinking, well, now, wait a minute. You know, God has funny ways of doing things that I wouldn't plan on. It's a good thing I'm not God. But you may be looking at the 51st state. You see, if that becomes the 51st state, then that means that the Marines are going to have to be there, and that's just what the Bible says, for the Battle of Armageddon, but not for the Battle of Jehoshaphat. And that might be the way it all hooks together now. That spiritual Israel will buy a piece of natural Israel, annex it and become the 51st state. Not prophesying that, but it sure is a interesting new way to look at things. So anyway, it is in the right spot. I want you to think of all those spots right now. We had Myron Gwinner here. He's our river man. And I was talking to him about the possibility of going to all those wadis. Now, a wadi is a dry creek bed. And every mile to build a natural earth dam, just every mile a natural earth dam with a concrete spillway. because there are times when those rivers flow. But then very shortly, you see it all, because of the, you remember how it does, it just all goes away. But if you had an earth dam every mile, in just a little while, you would have a nation full of, well, it would look more like Wisconsin. It'd be the land of 1,000 lakes. And then when you had all those lakes, then you would have a water supply, first for irrigation, and then, of course, for natural foliage of the trees, and then you'd have water, and then it'd be a land flowing with milk and honey all over again. Like it used to be, before the Turks got in and pushed it all down. So anyway, you can think about this. You can think of it in the natural realm. You can, that would be the literal interpretation. You can think of it in the symbolic realm. And you can think of it in its spiritual realm. We believe that by the time the Battle of Armageddon occurs, Israel will be in charge, or at least by the end of the battle, of all of the Fertile Crescent. That means eventually, under a single form of government, and certainly under a commercial enterprise, we'll have Israel, parts of Syria, all of Lebanon, Iraq, not Iran. Iran will never be on our side, down to the Sinai. It may include the Sinai all the way over to Egypt. I can't tell. And of all places, Spain, and I believe the United States. Spain is Tarshish, and according to the Bible, that has to line up the same way. These nations are going to line up, but they're not going to line up for the next battle. The next battle which will be number one on your sheet, is the Battle of Jehoshaphat. The Battle of Megiddo, way up at the top of the map, that's yet to occur. But at this Battle of Jehoshaphat, where Ziz and En-Gedi is, we had a chance to go right by those cliffs in the bus not more than a couple months ago. That's where we got flooded. I guess we fought our own battle there, didn't we? We'd come from Hebron, went down the road here like that, and came up. But Ammon, Moab, dwellers of Mount Seir, Edom, Bozrah are all going to come together, come up the west side, and then try to attack Jerusalem from this direction, where at this place here is where the worst battle will occur, and they'll be defeated. Now, in this battle, I think, and I'm not sure, I'll have to look in my charts, I think I may have put Egypt. But after we were over there, we saw that Egypt is an old, toothless dog. Jordan, that's a section over here, it's just next to Israel. Jordan, over to this side, with Ammon as its capital. Moab, which means Arafat, the Jordanese commandos. This is a bristling porcupine. When we came across here, the Allenby Bridge, I guess that was about here. Remember how many armaments we saw, tanks, and even camouflaged airports and the whole works, right in here. This is where it is. They're getting ready to attack. Egypt couldn't attack. There's nothing there. There, I mean, in comparison with what we saw before, nothing. So I went back to the Bible, and I looked it up, and sure enough, Egypt is not listed. Here I thought that the UAR, that included Egypt, and now I found out that Egypt wasn't listed. That's why she's an old toothless dog now, not able hardly to go. So while you're watching your newspapers, what you want to do for the next short period of time is be interested in Arafat, Hussein, Ammon, Lebanon, Syria. There'll be infighting among these nations. They'll never get along. Arabs have had a trouble. They've always had a problem See, we had a problem, too, in World War II. There was an argument over who's going to be boss. And that tall Frenchman, what was his name? De Gaulle said, "I will," and Eisenhower said, "I am." So he reduced De Gaulle to a hotel room in London, and that's one reason the French were so mad while he was president. And Eisenhower finally just took the bull by the horns and said, "I'm boss, boys. This is the way we play the game because I'm the boss." But the Arabs have never been able to do that, and they've got an Arafat, and they've got a Hussein, and they've got a this and that, and they always argue. According to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, they argued back then, and it says they turned on each other. And it seems as though it's always this way. There's just always this kind of a problem. I don't think that we're downgrading Arabs. We're not talking down at Arabs, and we're not talking down at Jews. It's just the way it is, and you've got to put, when you're labeling things, you got to see it. It's always been this way. Historically, it's been this way. Even the 12 tribes of Israel had their arguments among each other, you remember? And not only were they fighting other nations, but they had infighting among themselves. So the Jews are not any better off in this realm. It's just that we don't usually advertise it. And even spiritual Israel had one terrible infight in the 1860s. So it's just part. That's the way it is. We've got to understand that this is that there's always an argument in this realm. But then there's always that which has the strength, given the strength by God. At times in the natural realm, I wonder about God's wisdom, but when I get spiritual, I always see He's right. I don't know whether you caught that or not. I know that I'm in Pennsylvania at the moment, but my sympathies, as far as the war goes, had to been with the other side of the Mason-Dixon line. As far as what I considered was legal and right. However, I can also see that God's, you know, in order to get the job done, it was more right for Him to let the north win. Well, anyway, I hope nobody's mad at me for that one. I know it. In case I have to run, I thought I could make it. But I can see far more of the legal reasons that the South should have won. They had far more legal things on their side, but that's another problem. We believe that we are very close to these events. Now, during the Battle of Armageddon, which is not the next battle, but it's after this Jehoshaphat thing, that's when I'm expecting, you know, Russia, United States, all that kind of stuff. But for now, where it says all nations, I'll bring all nations down the valley of Jehoshaphat to deal with them, I'm going to have to take that word all and make it all of a group instead of all of the world. Now, sometimes the Bible does that. When it uses the word all, it means all that are in an area, not all that's in the total world. So where it says in Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, I'll bring all nations down the valley of Jehoshaphat. It now appears to me he's speaking of all the Jewish and Arab nations and not all the world. But as far as the battle of Armageddon, it now appears to me that that would include all the world. And in order to get all the world there, it certainly seems now to fit to have a 51st state over there, which would then certainly bring all the world. For the United States then would be committed, completely committed to being all the world. Well, anyway, it certainly seems to me in the natural realm to be a very possible way for this all to work out. And I'm expecting it to work out in our lifetimes. I'm expecting people here to be alive and remain to the coming of the Christ. I'm expecting people here to see it all. Now let's watch it and be very careful, and here's the reason why. When we are interpreting Scripture, especially prophecy, we have a tendency to hold on closely and solidly to everything we know. And this is a bad mistake, because the things we know, we don't know. that which we think is spiritual might be little, and that which we think is little might be symbolic, and that which is, you know, on and on it goes, and we don't know. As an example of this, I call your attention to the fact that 2,000 years ago, it was the church leaders that were wrong. I'll say it again. Who are the church leaders today? Well, the evangelicals and the modernists, because it was the Pharisees, the Sadducees. See, Sadducees are the modernists. The Pharisees are the evangelicals and the holiness people. And they were wrong. And the reason that they were wrong was they were looking for a kingdom because they'd been studying prophecy. And they were looking for a literal, physical kingdom with might and power and majesty and glory and honor, a scepter, an orb, a crown, a throne. Something physical. Prophecy interpreted in the physical realm. But the fulfillment of that prophecy was not literal. For Jesus said, in answer to the question, will you now, at this time, reestablish the kingdom of Israel? And he said, no, not the way you're looking for it. Because the kingdom that I've come to establish is a kingdom of, in your heart. It's a spiritual kingdom. And when you are looking at these prophecies for at me, Jesus Christ, he said, you're going to have to look at it in the spiritual realm. And look for the spiritual fulfillment, not the literal fulfillment. So now, we see that those guys were wrong. They were looking for it, literally, a worldly kingdom, and they got a spiritual one. 2,000 years later, we're looking for a spiritual kingdom. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. I've got a mansion just over the, you know. And we're looking for something spiritual. We're looking for a pie in the sky, supper, 7 years long. Come on now. And 2,000 years later, we haven't learned our lesson, and we're looking for something spiritual, and now it's going to be literal. Whereas 2,000 years ago, they looked for a literal, and they got a spiritual. Now we're looking for a spiritual, and it's going to be literal. So let's watch ourselves and be very sensitive and be very careful that none of us are so adamant. You know what adamant means? Strong, diamond-like, hard. That we cannot let go of one of our ideas. But you know something? The more I'm looking at this, the more I see that we don't have to let go of a lot on our ideas. All we have to do is be able to adjust from literal to symbolic to spiritual. And if you could just see that you're not really cutting off your nose. You're not really losing face. But changing every once in a while your views on a literal or a symbolic or a spiritual interpretation, I think that you'll be healthy in the long run at the end of the line and not hold so solidly to one or the other. But in John chapter 12, it was the Pharisees again who said, now, if we let this man continue the way he's teaching, he's taking people away from us, and everybody will be following him, and we will lose our positions. So you're going to discover, as you start to adjust and change, and not look upon everything just exactly the way you had in the past, that you become a threat. You're a threat to your society. How many have already noticed in Sunday school that some people are mad when you speak up? Have you seen that? When you start talking, for some reason they get mad. And the reason? You've already established yourself as a threat. See, a society must have people who only operate within its bounds, who are willing to read that literature and none else. And you guys have already established yourself as looking for various answers outside a structure. Then you've got to realize that the structure is not going to find happiness in your presence. And you're not going to be supported by your structure. Some of us have gotten the idea that we will, but there's a bad mistake there. If Israel, the natural, physical Israel on the edge of the Mediterranean, is attacked in the natural, physical way, from the across the mountains from the north, by Gog and Magog, then that will be a literal fulfillment of a literal prophecy. But the same prophecy refers, or may refer, to a spiritual Israel. And the spiritual Israel is none other than the United States of America. And the United States of America is going to be attacked by Gog and Magog. Now, in your mind, you may not be able to adjust right now, and you think, oh my, that means the Russians are going to drop bombs on us. Well, now, wait a minute. See, if it was a literal Russia making literal bombs on a literal edge of the Mediterranean, and that was a literal fulfillment, and this is spiritual Israel here, then it would be a spiritual Gog and Magog bringing a spiritual attack on a spiritual Israel. You follow that logic? So then we could expect from the northwest, the same direction, because it says from that in Ezekiel, Gog and Magog. What's that? Well, that's what? Russia and China, but I'm interested in another way of looking at it. Would you believe that's the occult? That's, now watch it carefully. Where is all the soul activity going on? Where are all the experiments in the soul realm going on? You say it. Psychic discoveries behind the Iron Curtain. Gog, Magog, Oriental wisdom philosophies. Now watch this. Now hold, I don't want anybody to think I'm mad at a person for being a Russian or being a Chinaman. That's not what I'm talking about at all. See, I'm trying to show you something else entirely. The Oriental, what we call occult religions, refer to God as a great soul. Always, you look it up, every time it's always soul. But Jesus taught us that our God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. So then we find throughout the East a concept of seeking God in the soul realm with a soul. But Jesus taught us to seek God in the spirit, heart. So then, we would find the soulish accomplishments most easily integrated in the Oriental mind. So, for those of you who have been to college, may I refer you to one of your Oriental friends and tell you that though I don't know him, I know he was getting good grades. Why? For 2,000 years at least, they have developed soul, mind, intellect, ability to work with puzzles. Boy, look at those Chinese puzzles. Have you ever seen them? See, but because it's ability to work with many, many factors and bring them all into this idea. One time I was working at IBM on a giant, a small-sized computer, and they told I was pretty proud of my computer until one time one of the engineers that had developed the computer said that a Chinaman with an abacus can beat our computer. And it kind of made me mad, but it was true. It was my job. I was the engineer in charge of the production line, and I didn't actually design the computer, but I built it. And but a Chinaman with his abacus, you know, and his ability, his high mental ability. You know what an abacus is, don't you? That's the beads on the on the end of the baby's crib. Yeah. The beads on the wire, that's it, you see. And with that kind of thing, he can beat my neat computer that IBM was charging so much money for. But you see, the reason is that there's something for thousands of years, the development of the soul powers. And so this guy Yuri, this Israeli Yuri that bends spoons, where's he from? Isn't he a Russian Jew?
Born in Israel.
Yeah, but where are his parents? I'm looking for a... Russian? I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me because it would fit the pattern that I'm looking for right now, you see. What I'm trying to show is this. I'm not saying that these things are impossible. In fact, I'm saying they are quite possible. They have tremendous power, soul power, mind power, development of this kind of thing. And if this is that thing that is camouflaging as a spirit but is really a soul, it would attack the United States from the Northwest.
Please stop your machine and turn cassette over.